Good. Okay, last week we had Julie with us, the vicar, and she was really good, wasn't she? But she had a good passage. She was speaking about loving with passion, wholeheartedly loving God with heart, soul, strength, and mind, loving our neighbours as ourselves, from Matthew 22. And I always believe that when I'm asked to preach, I should take whatever passage I am given. And I regret that decision of mine because I'm preaching on grieving with passion this afternoon. Yeah. All right, mourning and lamenting well. And I want to read, first of all, three short passages from Scripture. From Lamentations 3, and if you don't know where Lamentations is, it's just after Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is the writer, and he's lamenting the fact that the children of Israel have gone so far away from God. He's grieving of the distance between him, his people, and God. In Lamentations 3, verses 17 to 20, he writes, "Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss." And then the psalmist David in Psalm 13 writes this, from verses 1 to 4. "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, 'We have defeated him.' Don't let them rejoice at my downfall." And then the encouraging words of Jesus in Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 4, chapter 5, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This afternoon, it's a bit of teaching and a bit of preaching. It's not something we normally do during a sermon, but we need to understand a little bit more about this whole thing of grieving and mourning and lamenting. All words for the same thing. But loss and bereavement does not equal grief. Grief is one thing. Grief is one thing, but that is something that comes out of loss and bereavement. I looked up a definition. Grief is the acute but normal response that accompanies loss. It's about emotions. It's about a response which can be physical, it can be mental, it has all kinds of effects upon us. And I've pinched somebody's work this afternoon, for which I make no apologies. If I've got it right, I've gone the wrong way, am I, as usual?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, that'd be right. Thank you. Yeah, dealing with grief. There are many causes of grief. There's death, which we are very conscious of, the grief that comes out of that. Divorce, loss of health, and perhaps with that a loss of a feeling of usefulness. Right? Any of you know that feeling? I know as we get older, we begin to wonder whether we are still useful. At the moment, we are house-minding, or not house-minding, but minding Caroline's cat. And I wonder whether that sort of a ministry that we've now got is this wretched cat that can't stay in one place at one time. But a usefulness, a serious point, a loss of usefulness, a loss of mobility. Are we all aware of that? You know? I used to sit down on the floor and not think about getting up. Now I have to think about how am I going to get up? Okay? Loss of financial stability. Maybe we stopped work and we haven't got that financial cushion that we had once. Loss of a dream. Sale of a home. putting a bungalow back together again. And there's also what comes about through dementia, and that's something that's very real to us in this church. Margie's not here today, she's away on holiday, but as she thinks about Eric and the loss that she has faced there, as he has had to go into a home, Enid's sister has now had to go into a home, there is that loss that we see of a person who's alive but is dying within them. These are serious things. And there are some myths about grief. Myths about grieving. The pain will go away faster if you ignore it. It's important to be strong in the face of loss. Are they showing up on the screen? Yes, they are. Great, thank you. It's important to be strong in the face of loss. Jesus wept in Matthew 5 when he was surrounded by the sisters and the friends of Lazarus who had died. There are other myths. If you don't cry, it means you aren't sorry about the loss. We all deal with things in different ways. Grief cannot just be parceled down into one way. Moving on with your life means forgetting about your loss. And I just wanted to put in here some personal reflections about loss in my own life. My dad died when I was probably about 23. And I was angry for a number of years with God that he had taken somebody that had served him very sacrificially for 30 years, running a mission church. Eventually, I came to the point where I thought, I don't know why you've done it, God, but I just trust you that there was a good reason. And he didn't die a pleasant death. He died a very painful death. Seems so unfair, that loss. And that was all part of my grieving. It went on for years. The loss of my mum. 3 months before my mum died, I burst into tears. Because I felt, Lord, I just don't want to see her like this. She needs to go. Her body's given up. Her mind's still alert, but her body's given up. Lord, just take her. So my loss started from that point. That grief that I was experiencing went from that 3 months before she physically died. And then the loss of my sister last year, which had taken in her dementia a number of years until there was just somebody in a body which didn't resemble my sister and nothing was working. Horrible. And I started to grieve long before her physical death. It's been written many times that there are 5 stages of grief. And maybe you can align yourself to something in these areas. First of all, denial. This can't be happening to me. At the very beginning of every funeral service I take, apart from messing up the music when it's at Kirkleatham, there is a statement I make. We are gathered together to mourn the loss of so-and-so who has died. A statement. Because often it's at that point that people actually realise that the person has gone physically from this earth. Sometimes it's the curtains coming across. There is that aspect of denial. And then there's that anger that I felt with my dad. Why is this happening? Who is to blame? The third stage, bargaining. Almost trying to make a deal with God. Make this not happen, and in return, I will do something. and depression. I'm too sad to do anything. A drawing into oneself in our grief and loss. And then finally, praise God, a point at which we accept, I'm at peace with what happened. It doesn't mean we have not grieved when we get to that stage, or that we're hard of heart. It just means that for us, we've reached the point where we can accept what has happened and look to God. Now, you don't have to go through each stage in order to heal. And for some people, they go through a particular stage and then go back through a stage again. Or they go through a stage in a different order. We are all different. There is not a typical response to loss, as there is no typical loss. We are all different. We all handle loss in a different way. We all grieve in a different way. The importance is that we do grieve, that we allow our emotions to come to the fore. Christians can deal with grief in a very different way. And we're going to look at four passages that deal with grief. First of all, the hope of the resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Notice that. It doesn't say we shouldn't grieve. It says don't grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. That's the hope we have. The future for us is not in doubt for us as believers. That helps us in our grief and in our loss. Then in Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Then Revelation 21. Verse 3, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Loss and grief will be no more. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And Jeremiah, in that passage from Lamentations, goes on to say in chapter 3 and verse 21, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing of the Lord never ends. By his mercies we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. Words of encouragement, not putting aside the loss, not putting aside the grief that naturally should follow, but just being aware of the promises that God makes in his word. So what are the practical steps? How can we deal with grief? First of all, we need to acknowledge our pain. Be honest with ourselves. Don't try and pretend it's not there. Be honest with ourselves, with our friends, with our church congregation, and with God. And accept that grief can trigger many different and unexpected emotions. I'm sure some of you have been in the situation after a loss where for some reason you suddenly burst into tears. And you can't really put your finger on why, but it's part of the grieving process. And we just have to accept that we are emotional people who need to respond to that loss. We look at that passage in John 11, verses 33 to 35. Jesus coming into that situation where Lazarus has died. Jesus, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." In the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? That's not a rhetorical question. That's for you to tell me. Why did Jesus weep?
He was upset.
He was upset? Upset by what?
The loss of a friend.
The loss of a friend, yes. But he knew he was going to bring him back to life. Jesus knows all things.
But how the death had affected others as well.
Absolutely. Watching the friends, watching the sadness around, watching Martha and Mary, who he loves so much. The whole sadness of the situation. He sees grief. He has empathy. How often we read Jesus saw a situation and he had empathy with it. He wanted to reach out and do something. Jesus, in that situation, reaches out, acknowledges the loss that they see, the grief that they're starting to experience, even so knowing that he is going to resurrect Lazarus. But he sees around him and he wants to enter into that, and it upsets him to the point of tears. Dealing with grief again. Dealing with the grieving process, understand that your grieving process will be unique to you. Other people can't tell you how to grieve. You will react in different ways. All that we should be doing when we see somebody in loss is encouraging them to grieve and not judging them. Seek out face-to-face support from people who care about you. The major strength of this church is the pastoral care and love between the people in it. We enter into that. We empathise with one another. We saw that note from Tony this week. And just looking at the responses, everybody was rejoicing and thanking God for that answer to prayer. Talk to people. Engage the people who care about you. Family, friends, congregation. We are all called to be empathetic. Romans 12 verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Couple more verses from scripture to encourage you. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation or our loss, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God has reached out to us and shown his love to us, and it is our responsibility to reach out to others who are in need of comfort. We can be assured that God wants to comfort us in our loss and grief. And then Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God That is what we should be praying for in our own loss and our own grief, that we will know the peace of God. Eventually accept what has happened as part of God's plan. The peace of God. So in summary, we are called to grieve and cry out to God when it all goes wrong and we have a loss of some kind. There is nothing you cannot say to God. I felt very guilty as a young, I think I was probably about 23 when my dad died, felt very guilty at times for being so angry with God. And as I matured as a Christian, I realised that there is nothing that God cannot take. He loves us and he cares about us. He understands when we get angry with him. We don't understand why things happen. We feel bereft. We feel lost. We are grieving. He can take it. It's important that he's the one we turn to first of all. He cares. Ultimately, we're all called to trust even as we grieve. We may not understand it all, but we're called to trust God that he knows best. And we, whatever we go through, we can rely on God's promise that the Lord is by my side, that he will be with us through the ups and downs of life. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word reminds us that as Christians, we will still go through ups and downs in our lives. We will still suffer loss, loss of all kinds. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to grieve in the right way when we have loss. But help us also to be reminded of the fact that you will never leave us. You are there alongside us in our grief and in our loss. You are a loving God who cares for your children. Lord, encourage us. Be with us through those dark moments of our lives and bring us out into your light, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Our final song is